Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhymes record break neck spines and vertebrae, the bowling plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
6 days. 6 days, ladies and gentlemen, from tonight, Thursday night, the live recording of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. 6 days. Six. We're so close. We're so close, and yet so far, obviously, basketball games still being played, preseason games. Of course, the WNBA finals are really at their peak right now as we record this live. So there's still basketball happening, but for the Memphis Grizzlies, for their fans, for the city of Memphis, 6 days. 6 days until meaningful basketball is back at FedEx Forum, back in the friendly confines of the Grindhouse. I personally cannot wait to see it unfold, and I know you are ready for it as well. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Thank you so much for joining us. Wherever you are, however you may be taking in the program, thanks for making us a part of your podcasting listening pleasure. Shorter show this week, because next week we're going to do our season preview, which will be a little bit longer. We have Kevin Leip already scheduled for that show. But we wanted to do a show this week. We wanted to have a good guest for our loyal listeners out there. And I think we have a pretty good one who's going to give an awesome perspective on the Memphis Grizzlies, especially, again, I like to talk about that national perspective, because so often we get kind of blinders put on us. We see the Grizzlies either extremely negatively or extremely positively. It's very hard, especially this season, it seems, to really kind of look down the middle and find that shade of gray that probably is this Grizzlies team and what that means. More and more people are trying to find it, but we'll get another take on it here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Ways to interact with the show: you can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. If you do not already do so, make sure you're hitting us up there. We talk about guests that we have coming up. We talk about giveaways. Our next Fan Essentials giveaway will be next week, so make sure you're following us there. You have to be a follower of us on Twitter in order to do that. Make sure you're following me on Twitter, if you don't already do so, at Joe Mullinax, M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. And, of course, I am the site manager for SB Nation NBA's Grizzly Bear Blues, the Memphis Grizzlies fan blog member of SB Nation. You can follow our overall Twitter account at SBN Grizzlies. You can also get into the chat room if you are listening to the show live. I moderate the chat. If you have a question for myself or any of the guests that you hear on GBB Live, that is a great place in real time for you to shoot your questions and your comments about the topics that are being discussed. On the show tonight, we're excited to have him. First time ever being on GBB Live. I enjoy his work. His name is Oliver Maroney. He's an NBA writer for Basketball Insiders, and we're excited again to have him on. We're going to talk about the preseason a little bit, try to put a nice little tidy bow on what was a 4-2 preseason for the Memphis Grizzlies, whatever the hell that means. We'll talk to him about that if it means anything. I tend to think that it means nothing, but there are some aspects of it that were certainly worthwhile, especially if your name is DJ Steffens or if your name is Troy Williams. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. We'll talk about the Western Conference at large. I have some hot takes about the Western Conference. If you're listening to this show somehow and you're a Los Angeles Clippers fan, you're not going to be a fan of me by the end of the podcast, but that's quite all right. The bias is real there, if I'm being honest. I think I'm somewhat settled in logic with what I'll say about the Clippers, but Oliver will keep me in check, and I appreciate that from him here in a moment. Before we bring him on the line, I do want to talk about FanEssentials.net, a terrific sponsor of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Make sure you're going to FanEssentials.net to get all your Grizzlies gear and other gear needs. They ship it right to your door. You don't have to worry about picking out the gear if you don't want to. If you're not a fashion icon, a fashionista like me, and you just want some cool gear, some stuff to kind of rep your city, rep your team, wherever, whatever squad you might be trying to show out for, They send the gear, whatever you need. You just type it in, research, easy squeezy, right from the comfort of your own home. That's the kind of shopping that I like to do. So fanessentials.net, make sure you are going and signing up today for a tremendous subscription, or you could just get a box, see if you like it. I'm telling you right now, you're going to like it because they do a great job over at fanessentials.net. My guest for tonight's podcast, again, we're excited about it. He is an NBA writer for Basketball Insiders. He does good work over there. He has good perspective on the league. And again, from a broad perspective, because the Grizzlies preseason basketball, we've watched it. If you've been able to watch it, you certainly listen to it on the Grizzlies app or 92.9 ESPN in Memphis. You have a general idea, even if you just look at the box scores. So what can we take away from this preseason? Obviously, health continues to be the driving storyline for these Memphis Grizzlies. So we have a lot to talk about, so we're going to bring him on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Oliver Maroney. Oliver, welcome to GBB Live. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you?
If I were any better, I couldn't stand it, Oliver. The NBA is inches away. It feels like it's right there, right within your grasp. It's so close and yet so far. The terrible preseason, which we'll talk more about here in a moment, not terrible in terms of play, although there were some examples of that, but terrible in just in terms of its existence. I mean, thankfully, the Memphis Grizzlies only played 6 preseason games this year instead of 8. But it still just feels like too much. Maybe you get 3 or 4 in for the guys who are trying to make the end of the bench, and you just get on with it. That's how I kind of feel about it at this point.
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting. I mean, the preseason's great to kind of get the guys that aren't playing some minutes and at least kind of see what you have there, especially with your rotation. I think it very much clarifies kind of what the coach is going to do and how he's going to play, and figures out all the little kinks in the armor, I guess you could call it, for a coach. And so, I mean, it is good, but I think it is a little bit extended from what it should be. Like you said, about 4 games seems about right. Get them quickly done and then figure out your roster, and then we should just head right into regular season.
It's just a drag. It just really kind of hurts my heart a little bit to see the potential for injuries. You know, it just – coaches just seem to not be big fans of it. Now, in fairness to the whole process, I do think that a coach that may have been interested in at least doing it a little bit in terms of the preseason, getting his feel and his feet underneath him, is David Fizdale, new head coach for the Memphis Grizzlies, obviously working with a veteran roster, trying to figure out where the pieces kind of come into play for him as he installs his schemes with his coaching staff. The Grizzlies went 4-2 in the preseason, Oliver. They did some things that looked good. They've made some changes I'm sure you've heard of. It's kind of trickling out to the national media slowly but surely, which we'll talk more about here in a moment. But Zach Randolph now is going to try to be a 6th man. Marc Gasol has been told to shoot 4 3-pointers a game. The pace has picked up. I've only been able to watch 1 or 2 games because of, you know, not being able to stream it or whatever the issue may be. But from what I've seen, there is a conscious effort to try to change the way that they play, to try to modernize this offense a little bit, especially pick up the pace, get more spacing. I mean, Marc Gasol being able to shoot threes, that does wonders for the spacing in this room that your slashers and your dribble penetrators have to work with. So what do you take away from preseason games? Even if it's not necessarily just the Memphis Grizzlies, maybe you're looking at the overall picture for the entire NBA. What can you, as an NBA fan, take from watching or following the preseason basketball of your favorite team?
I think there's a lot you can take away. I mean, you look at it, I mean, I talked about it earlier, but rotation is a huge key. I think when you're looking at the preseason games, it gives you an idea of what the rotation could look like for the season coming up. You look at, you know, specifically how Zach Randolph is going to play his role in a 6th man. That will be very intriguing, and I think it's worked out quite well. I actually like the idea. I have him as one of the front runners for my 6th man of the year award, just based on the fact that he has been productive as a starter and is now moving to that 6th man role. But not only that, he's looked pretty good this preseason, and I'm impressed with what he's giving the Memphis Grizzlies off the bench. I think when you add a guy like that specifically, you know, he is built to be a starter. He's used to playing against starters, and when he goes against bench units, he's going to terrorize some of these bench units in the NBA. I think it's a very, very good mixture for the Memphis Grizzlies overall, but when you look at the preseason and what you can take from it, I think really you look at some of the bench players that get a bigger role. You look at some of the promising young players as well that come in and play 20 minutes a night that probably won't get much playing time. And you look at what the future holds for your franchise. So there's a lot to look at. I mean, the star potential, you know, when you look at a guy like Marc Gasol to 150%, they're going to give it their all for a quarter. And then really they're more there just to kind of get warm, if that's even a term at this point. But, you know, I like what the Memphis Grizzlies have done, and preseason is really about just working out most of your rotation, how it's going to fit, how the new coaching staff obviously is going to work out here. But I have, like I said, it's looked very promising to me thus far for the Memphis Grizzlies, as long as they can stay healthy.
I really want to touch on the idea of the rotation, because I do think that is important. And the unfortunate thing for the Grizzlies, as it seems it has been the unfortunate thing for them for a long time now, and I think this is part of why there's some pessimism among Grizzlies fans and national media about what Memphis can actually do this season in terms of record, health continues to dominate the headlines. Chandler Parsons is still not cleared for full contact, and again, we're 6 days away from the season starting. Brandon Wright hasn't played in multiple preseason games. Same thing with Tony Allen. Many key cogs to this Grizzlies machine are not being able to participate in these preseason games. How much does that hamper the Grizzlies, especially when it comes to trying to get a fast start on the regular season?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge, huge problem for the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, basically, your preseason is to kind of get those guys that have been injured for a long time back on the court. And if you can't do that, then you're working that out in the regular season. So it's not going to be massive unless Parsons is out for an even more extended time than what we assume, because typically players take, you know, 4, 5, 6 games to kind of get back in the swing of things. But with a new coach and then you add in the new system that they're trying to run here, it could take up to 10, 15 games. And when you're talking about a regular season, that's 1/8 of your season. And when you talk about the Memphis Grizzlies specifically, the record of the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, we don't know where it's going to be at the end of the season, but my anticipation is they're going to be somewhere in that 6, 7, 8 range in the Western Conference. And if that's the case, 10 games is a crucial amount of games for some players like Chandler Parsons, potentially a Marc Gasol, even though he says he's okay. You know, guys like that need to get minutes, even if it is just in a short burst or period. They need to be able to play with this team. And if they don't have that regularity or the familiarity with the offense and the role that they're supposed to be in, you know, it's going to be kind of difficult for them to start off this season.
We're talking with Oliver Maroney. He is an NBA writer for Basketball Insiders. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, if you don't already do so, at @OMaroneyNBA. And Oliver, you make interesting points, and it all kind of ties in and coincides with the ultimate truth about these Grizzlies. We already briefly mentioned it, the health. The health of this team, Chandler Parsons being the major question right now, but Marc Gasol coming off of a foot surgery, Conley having an Achilles issue after signing the largest contract in NBA history at the time. It really is a lot of money to invest in three players, Conley, Gasol, and Parsons, who all have health issues. And that seems to be the dominant story when it comes to people who are obscenely pessimistic about this team. I have seen people, 538, who is actually a tremendous statistical website. Nate Silver does a tremendous job over there. They predicted the Grizzlies to go 35-47 this season. So on one hand, you're like, oh man, that's not, I don't agree with that at all. But at the same time, you're like, oh man, they're usually kind of right about these things. And it makes you nervous. You see other people very hesitant to say anything really positive about the Grizzlies until they prove that they can stay healthy. And I think that that's fair. But at the same time, other teams are going to have health issues too. It's really hard to kind of walk that line. I see both sides of it. I kind of lean towards assuming, because it's human nature and, you know, the history here would say that they're probably going to miss some time. But, you know, Zach Randolph and Tony Allen aren't spring chickens anymore. Chandler Parsons, Mike Conley are both getting up there close to 30. Marc Gasol is 31. And again, he's 7'1", 280, 290 pounds on a foot that's newly fixed by surgery. How worried are you about the health of the Grizzlies going into the season? Because I feel like a lot of people are pretty worried. Do you share that concern?
Yeah, I'm pretty on board with the fact that when you talk about the navicular injury that Marc Gasol suffered, you look at just the historical statistics behind it, and I think it, you know, going back, I think it was the past 15 or 20 years, the last time I checked, it looked like about 5 of the 7 players that had suffered the injury had gone on to have more complications with the injury itself. And, you know, you look at the games missed, and it's just scary. You know, I mean, that's the only thing. It could be all fear. Marc Gasol is a different player than, you know, Zydrunas Ikauskas or a Joel Embiid, or, you know, they're different players, the way they play, how they play. And I think a big man like Marc Gasol, when you're talking about a guy like him, he is very different in the scheme of when you're talking about a 7-foot big man. He's not your prototypical 7-footer who's just going to dunk the ball and, you know, basically stay in the paint for most of the game. He's pretty mobile. He's got a lot of very, very good skills that most bigs in the NBA don't have. His passing ability is probably one of the best, if not the best. And his outside shot is very good. You know, he can make the free throws. He's got all the intangibles. He's got a lot of things that he brings. The one thing that I've always been puzzled with and I've been kind of conjuring over the past offseason is really, if Marc Gasol isn't fully healthy or isn't fully 100% this season, does it really mean that he takes that much of a step back? And that's where I kind of stop myself, because the way he plays is very different from other bigs. And, you know, not to say that, you know, Marc Gasol isn't going to, you know, dunk the ball or bang the boards, but he's not that sort of player. So I don't think he's got the wear and tear on his legs like a guy like Zydrunas Ikauskas, who is really mainly known as a, you know, basically post player, post presence, didn't really move that much, and matched up specifically against a guy like Shaquille O'Neal or a guy like Dwight Howard. I mean, these are way more physical bigs than they are right now, and I think that really helps with Marc Gasol. And so for that reason, yes, I'm scared. I am. I mean, you know, what is going to happen with Marc Gasol? I don't know, but the hope for me is that if Marc Gasol can be even a resemblance of what the player he was previously to this injury, I think he can still give this team contributions of that of an all-star level, because of all the different things that he can do and the ways that he can beat you on offense, as well as his defensive presence. I just think that he is a different player, and so you have to put him in a different category other than just the statistical historics of this injury.
I think that the Grizzlies are going to be smart with how they utilize him. I think he's going to be much more perimeter-oriented than he has been in the past. He won't be down on the block as much. He probably will be high post and beyond. And he shot about 40% in the preseason from three. He was 6-for-15 from three-point range. So he's a guy who has shown that he can hit that shot. Now, can he do it over the span of an 82-game season when he's shooting 4 threes a game? I think that's worth kind of waiting and seeing. But he has shown the ability to adapt his offensive game. Now, how that affects the Grizzlies in terms of rebounding, if they're going to have Marc Gasol and Jermichael Green be their starters. I mean, you have one guy who's not undersized, but he's more perimeter-based, and you have a guy who's also perimeter-based in Jermichael Green, who also is undersized. So rebounding might become an issue, but at the same time, you have Tony Allen, you have James Ennis, you have guys on the wings who have historically been good rebounders, and then you bring in a Brandon Wright and especially a Zach Randolph off the bench, and maybe you can kind of replace those boards in the aggregate. But at the same time, it seems like a lot more, especially offensive rebound-wise, teams are kind of punting those in this modern NBA in favor of, you know, we keep them off the glass getting second chances, we'll do the same. And the Grizzlies have been successful with that, and I heard somebody say this recently. One of the major reasons they've been successful with that is the Z-bound, as we like to call it. Zach Randolph misses the layup, and then he gets his own rebound, and that's one of the reasons that their offensive rebounding is so effective, and that kind of inflates those numbers a little bit. But it really is going to be fascinating to see how they play with these adjustments. And I think the new style of play is going to help Mark in terms of his health. Let's twist and turn away from the foot of Gasol and go up the human body and go to the knee of Chandler Parsons. This is a guy who, if he is healthy, is a perfect fit for this Memphis Grizzlies core. He can create off the dribble as a 6'9", 6'10" combo forward. He can play that stretch four that's so popular in the NBA now. He can shoot lights out from three. He has an offensive toolkit that is really aligned nicely with what the Grizzlies don't do well. So he checks a lot of boxes. But in order to be able to execute and fill in those checks, you have to be on the floor. How worried are you about Chandler Parsons at this point? He had the surgery 6 months ago. At the time, it was supposed to be 6 to 8 weeks. It's been a lot longer than that, and his status for opening night is very much up in the air.
Yeah, you've got to be – this actually, to me, is more worrisome than the Gasol injury. And like I said, I think Gasol can overcome something like this just because of how he plays. But with Chandler Parsons, you know – Mark Cuban and Chandler Parsons were pretty good buds in Dallas, and you know Dallas really liked what Parsons brought to the table. And you know, when you trade out a guy like Chandler Parsons for a guy like Harrison Barnes, be it yes he has the injury history, that's got to be a red flag. And I know that the Memphis Grizzlies brought him in assuming that he was all healthy and good to go, and there's still medical and training staffs that have to clear him before, you know, he can actually sign that contract typically. So there's not much of a worry on that front specifically, but if he's not going to be back on the floor at the beginning of the season, and this injury has already lingered, as you said, you know, 3-4 months out, you've got to be concerned. The Dallas Mavericks training staff is very, very knowledgeable. They're very good at what they do. So, and like I said, with the relationship with the Dallas Mavericks, I mean, I was very surprised that they didn't return him at the dollar amount that Memphis gave him, and that's where I kind of pause a little bit. I mean, it's really, really scary to me when you have a team like the Dallas Mavericks just say, no, you know, we'll take the lesser of the two because of the injury concern is just my assumption. So it'll be interesting. I mean, if he can play, obviously, he's a great player. He does everything right. He's got very, very good intangibles. He plays the game the right way. And in this new era kind of style of offense in the NBA that it's producing right now, Chandler Parsons fits that mold perfectly. And Fizdale, he's come out and mentioned it multiple times. He wants to kind of run that style. They've picked up the pace immensely. So I think that, you know, he could be a very, very good fit. Like you said, it's just a matter of, you know, if he can be back on the court in time for the regular season to start.
We're talking with Oliver Maroney of Basketball Insiders. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so as the NBA season approaches at @OMaroneyNBA. Chandler Parsons scares me. This kind of ties into one of our last topics of conversation. Before all of this injury concern, I kind of thought that Chandler Parsons had a shot now in this new role as a scorer. He's going to be one of the lead players on this Grizzlies team. He's never really had, because I called, this is one of the few times I'll pat myself on the back, Oliver. I called the Chandler Parsons signing in Memphis about a week before it happened. It was more of me just kind of seeing it as a perfect match. The Grizzlies constantly undervalued, Chandler Parsons undervalued, you know, overlooked, whatever it might be. Two sides that kind of fit each other nicely in terms of that type of mentality, being that underdog, being the bridesmaid, never a bride. But now with the health concerns, it really does kind of shake you up a little bit. Obviously, I don't think he can make an all-star game if he can't get on the court, but he has that skill set, and hopefully he'll be able to showcase it in Memphis. And hopefully the Memphis Grizzlies, if he is able to stay on the floor a good bit, will reach their potential this season. And that leads us into our next topic. This Grizzlies team is extremely hard to predict, Oliver. I've heard people make rational, logical arguments for them competing for the 3 and 4 seed out west, hosting a home playoff series. And I've heard logical arguments for them being the 8 seed or missing the playoffs altogether. So for me, the high that these Grizzlies can achieve is that 3 to 4 seed area. I don't know if the 3 seed is entirely realistic, but I think that they can be in the conversation for that 4 seed kind of deal, get over 50 wins if they stay healthy. find a way to host a playoff series, maybe against the Portland Trail Blazers, I believe, when we did our over-under preview series over at grizzlybearblues.com. I had it being a Portland-Memphis kind of rematch from a couple of years ago. But when you look at this Grizzlies team, because the floor could very easily be being out of the playoffs. Now, a lot has to go wrong for that, but at the same time, a lot has to go right for them to reach the ceiling. So what do you see as Memphis's potential high this coming season, and what do you see as Memphis's potential low? Because I could see them being in the four seed conversation, and I could see them being a lottery team without a draft pick because they're sending it to Denver this year unless they're one of the five worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I see the Memphis Grizzlies as probably at a high. I think probably a 5 or 6 seed at this point. I think they could potentially reach the 4 seed if every domino falls right for them. But I have a hard time believing that all these injuries that are kind of creeping up on them are not going to affect their long-term success this season. And, you know, you add a new head coach, a new scheme that none of these players have really played before. I mean, you talk about a lot of these guys have been on this Memphis Grizzlies team for a long time, and they've, you know, been one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, if not the best, depending on the year and who was coaching. And so for me, that's kind of the high. I don't know if there's much higher they can go. Just like I said, new coaching staff. You've got a ton of injury concerns. It's going to be, The problem, actually, I think more than anything, isn't really the injury concerns. It's that I don't really see viable options as replacements. So if a Marcus Gasol goes down, if a Chandler Parsons is indeed out for more than just a regular season couple of games or so, who steps in and really takes that role and fills that void to the fullest extent? I just don't – I know they have – depth at some positions, and they've got some young talent and potential, but I don't know if they check all the boxes, as you said, to kind of fill that void that a Chandler Parsons or Marcus Gasol makes. So, you know, they're high, probably a 5 seed, maybe a 4 seed if they're lucky. The low, I think it could get really, you know, and I'll be honest, and you were looking for national perspective, so I'm just going to be pretty honest about this. I actually think the low could be, you know, somewhere in the lottery. I don't think they're going to go that low. I really don't. I see them, and I've been on record multiple times in saying it, I see them somewhere between 35 and 45 wins. And that's kind of how I see this team overall, just based on the injury concerns, the health of a lot of these guys, and then the new coaching staff. And it's understated in the NBA. When you get a new coach, it's very, very, especially when you get a coach that is a totally different style of coach than what you've typically had. It is usually a growth. There's a growth period, and it usually takes a couple of months to kind of understand and get the right offense flowing, the right personnel, the right rotation down. And yes, that's what the preseason's for. But when you have these injuries, like I said, this could tail on for 15 or 20 games, and that could kill their playoff hopes. So I think they've got a, they're one of the more that's probably the biggest question mark team in the NBA, or one of them, just based on, like I said, all the changes and injuries. So it'll be interesting to see what this season holds for the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm definitely probably in the middle there. I've picked them out of the playoffs in multiple different projections, and multiple when I've gone on other shows. I just don't see how they can get away from all this injury concern. They've got a lot of age on this team, and when you get injured at an older age, it does take longer to recover and heal. I see them, like I said, 35 to 45 wins is probably where I'll see them this year.
The sad part is this team is younger than they were last year, and it's really something where,
yeah,
I think, Oliver, this is where I'm at with the team. I think that a lot of the skepticism on health, which is, again, completely fair, is tied into, to an extent, the bad taste in your mouth from last year. And I think it goes on the national stage a little bit because the poor national folks had to watch it for 4 games against San Antonio. But that was a lot of the end of last season, was seeing, you know, way too much Jordan Farmar and Ryan Hollins playing for your favorite team, and watching Tony Allen and Zach Randolph labor to try to be these players that they weren't. when I look at this, and again, it's a massive if, especially with Parsons, but if they can get those pieces on the floor, and I think that's why they're being so precautionary with Parsons. They don't want to throw him out there and then have him play five games and have to sit out three because his knee is sore.
Of course.
They would rather him sit 3 to 5 maybe at the beginning of the season, make sure he's 100%, rest him on certain back-to-backs, you know, 5 games in 7 days or whatever it might be, however the schedule lines up on a given month or week, and, you know, try to keep him on the floor for 60, 65 games. That, to me, is a sound philosophy, especially when you invest so much time. They went away from the massive focus on depth. I've said this on the show multiple times. You know, for years we would say, oh, this is the deepest Grizzlies team. No, this year's team is the deepest Grizzlies team. And it got them maybe to the second round of the playoffs, and that was it. So now they have put all of their eggs in the basket of Chandler Parsons, Mike Conley, and Marc Gasol, and these are three guys who have health concerns, viable ones, but at the same time, it's a big if, but if they can stay healthy, those three playing together, the offensive skill sets that they have, the ability on the pick and roll, pick and pop off of screens, they make this offense so much more versatile. And I think the hiring of David Fizdale and all the word coming out about Fizdale in Memphis is extremely positive. Players love him. Zach Randolph supports him, even though he's been moved to the bench. I mean, the players love the guy. To me, after watching the team now for 6 or 7 years, and blogging about them for 4, they are a team that needed a swift kick in the butt. They were complacent. I teach and coach as my day job, Oliver, and I see complacency in high school kids, and I know that in sports it can carry over even if you're a millionaire making millions of dollars playing a kid's game. You can still get complacent. I think this Grizzlies roster got complacent, and I can see, you know, at grizzlybearblues.com, we kind of buried grit and grind. Matt Ardlicka, one of our writers, killed it, and I buried it in a series of articles. But I can kind of see it as an evolution. I can kind of see it as a moving on and still using those pieces just in more efficient ways than they have been used in the past. So I'm probably looking at the glass more than half full, but I think after last season, you know, and the darkness and despair that was Jordan Farmar starting playoff games, it's really an attempt to try to stay positive. Everything you said is completely fair. And if they don't make the playoffs, I think if they don't make the playoffs, I'll be surprised, because that would mean that Gasol, Conley, and Parsons all had to miss a considerable amount of time. And to me, that just feels unlikely that all three of them would miss that much time. If you have two of them missing, I think squeaking in as the 8th seed is, you know, a hope, and it's possible. If you only have one of them missing, and Marc Gasol is the key piece here. I mean, if Marc Gasol is out there and he's playing, you know, 65 to 70 games, he can make it as the 7 or 8 seed with Conley and Parsons, you know, being hit or miss. And I think Conley and Gasol are the two that, at least according to early reports, you can possibly count on being there for those kinds of games. Again, you sit them for back-to-backs, you sit them on long stretches of games. But if they can play 65 games, this Grizzlies team will be competitive in the Western Conference. Speaking of the Western Conference, it's time for some Western Conference hot takes here. My hot takes are particularly hot toward the Los Angeles Clippers. I have to tell you, Oliver, I'm pretty biased against them. Not a big fan of theirs. I think DeAndre Jordan is the most overrated player in the NBA. And that usually draws the ire of lots of people on Twitter. So I'm interested in your perspective on my hot takes, and I'm interested to hear yours. As kind of a Western Conference preview, we do an over-under challenge over at grizzlybearblues.com. And what I did with mine was I added up all the wins after I was done, and I put them into seedings. And I have the Grizzlies finishing in that 4 or 5 seed range. Them and Portland actually finished tied during the season. So, again, glass half full kind of look. But one of my hot takes, I just think the Clippers are obscenely overrated, Oliver. I have them being the 3 seed. So they're obviously going to have another good regular season, as they've been doing. But the 6th seed opponent, according to my Mullinax over-under challenge, is the Utah Jazz. Everybody's sexy team that thinks is going to win 50-plus games, even though they've never done anything for an 82-game season. But everybody loves Utah. I do think that at that point in the season, Utah will put it together. I think that they will upset the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round, and that is my first Western Conference hot take. Do you think I'm wrong for being so hard on the Los Angeles Clippers?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say yes. Unfortunately,
I appreciate
I don't like going against. I don't like going against people very often, but the Clippers are actually my team this year to kind of surprise some people in the opposite direction.
No, Oliver.
You know, yeah, I know.
Oh,
you're going to hate me for this.
God.
I have a feeling the Clippers are. I have a feeling the Clippers are going to be a 2 seed in the Western Conference, and I could be totally wrong. You could be totally wrong. You know, these are all opinions. You know. But I actually, you know, when you said DeAndre Jordan, I actually thought that he had an excellent Olympics. And I think that he's going to tailor that over to this NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
As long as those three in L.A. can stay healthy, here's the situation with L.A., and this is why I hesitate just a little bit. They've had 3 or 4 seasons with this same core. And, you know, every year we seem to, at some point in time, people are saying this is a Western Conference Finals team and they can't make it past the first round or the second round. You know, now or never, in my opinion, for this LA Clippers team. And I think if they don't do it this year, I think they blow this thing up. And that's kind of the reason I think the Clippers are going to be better than most expect them to be based on how long they've been together. I just think, you know, the Blake Griffin kind of trade rumors out there have been mulling around for a while. Even the Chris Paul trade rumors for a little while, those things stem from how long this group has been together and underachieved. Get it going this season, then he won't get it going at all. So I think, you know, in my opinion, I really like the Clippers this year. Like I said, I could be wrong, but I like the core, and as long as they're healthy, that big asterisk that we're talking about, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Clippers, the Utah Jazz, I mean, you could go down the list. There's a lot of teams, if they're healthy, you know, I think that they're going to be very difficult to beat.
And see, here's my thing about that with the Clippers. Chris Paul is 31 years old, going on 32 years old, and people don't talk about him regressing. Blake Griffin has missed more games over the past 2 years due to health concerns than Marc Gasol has, and they don't talk about Blake Griffin being an injury risk. And DeAndre Jordan, a tremendous defender. I'll give him credit for that. But if we're talking about offensive skill set, I'd still say he's pretty limited. So I see the flaws in the Clippers maybe more than I should, and I don't see those flaws enough in the Grizzlies. But this is a Grizzlies fan blog and a Grizzlies podcast, so I can be forgiven for that a little bit. But at the same time, the Utah Jazz, I think, get it together, and they pick off the Clippers. And like you said, I've certainly been wrong before. I don't know how – you haven't been following me very long, Oliver. I was a big fan of the Jeff Green trade, so at least I own my mistakes. I own my mistakes, and that's usually not how it goes with us fan bloggers, I have learned in my brief stint as a site manager over at grizzlybearblues.com. All right, so that's my first take. I'll combine my second and third, and I will tell you that I believe another team that a lot of people seem to like, because people like to get on the Mike D'Antoni train, is the Houston Rockets. I have the Houston Rockets out of the playoffs this year, and I have the Dallas Mavericks with their warlock of a head coach sneaking in as the 8th seed. So I've got Houston out, and I've got Dallas in. I told you they were hot takes, Oliver. I told you this.
They are.
How do you counter those hot takes? Do you have any hot takes of your own?
I do. I'm of the belief that the Houston Rockets will get the 5 seed this year in the Western Conference.
No!
And,
Oliver!
Yep. I know. We're just disagreeing all over the board. Well, here's the thing with the Western Conference. I think the top 3 seeds, are pretty set in stone. Like, I think 99% of most people out there, if they know anything about the NBA, the top 3 seeds are pretty set in stone. Beyond that, the Western Conference is just a crapshoot.
That is a fact. We agree on that.
And, you know, I like the Dallas Mavericks, so I'll move on to your third take here. I like the Houston – well, actually, no. I'll go back to the Houston Rockets really quick. I'm a believer in James Harden becoming a leader, becoming that go-to guy. And I think that the Houston Rockets with a top 2 offense are going to be very difficult. I think they will make it there with all the different, you know, they've got so many pieces on offense now that they never had before. I mean, James Harden didn't have anyone to support on the perimeter.
That are larger injury concerns than Gasol and Conley and Parsons.
They are.
Uh-huh.
They certainly are. They only lost Dwight Howard, and I think that that was actually, you know, that's a good thing, not a bad thing at this point. I think Clint Capella has been very good this preseason. I think you can expect more out of him. But when you're talking about, I'll move on, you know, I just believe in the Houston Rockets. Mike D'Antoni's a great coach. I think that he's going to be able to figure it out on offense with the Houston Rockets. But when you're talking about Dallas, I'm a believer in Dallas. The reason I'm a believer is exactly what you just said. They have a heck of a coach, one of the top five in the league. He gets the most out of guys when you don't expect it. He made Raymond Felton look like almost an all-star when,
absolutely,
you know, Raymond Felton hadn't looked like that ever. He just takes guys out of their primes and puts them back in there. And I'm very surprised, you know, people aren't pegging them more in the playoff conversation. I've put them out of their, you know, previous years, and I've made the mistake, and I'm not doing it this year. You know, you just can't doubt it. They had, in my opinion, the pickup of the offseason in Andrew Bogut. They got him for essentially free. I think he's one of the best centers in the league. He does a lot of things well, and they needed a center very badly. They upgraded their center position, in my opinion. I think Zaza Pachulia is definitely not to the level of Andrew Bogut. So I'm with you on Dallas. I think they can be an 8 or 7 seed. I think they'll sneak in. My hot take, and I'll go to my hot take really quickly here.
Please.
Oklahoma City doesn't make the playoffs.
Ooh.
So that's my hot take.
I've heard that.
I
yeah,
know
that's
people
a good
don't
one.
Like it. People don't like me, you know, thinking that Russell Westbrook isn't going to be the MVP. I just don't see the efficiency to go along with the points, the rebounds, the assists. I think that he turns the ball over way too much. I think that on defense, he very much so is overrated in a lot of ways based on what he does. I mean, he gambles. You see at times he'll go for a steal instead of just standing a man up, and I think that that's a huge problem when you can't steal the ball.
No doubt.
You know, so for me, I love him. I mean, don't get me wrong. His intangibles are great. He's got all the MJ, Kobe vibe. But I just think that Russell Westbrook as a player is not efficient enough to become that MVP-type player. And if the Oklahoma City Thunder don't have the supporting cast around a guy like Westbrook, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to get his own shot and actually make it work. And for them to make the playoffs to begin with. And I just – historically – MVPs are a top 4 seed typically, top 3 seed, and I don't see Oklahoma City as that.
We're finishing up here with Oliver Maroney. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at @OMaroneyNBA. Great writer, or NBA writer for Basketball Insiders. Appreciate your time, Oliver. I know we've gone over a little bit. We'll get you out of here on this. Our Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day today kind of ties in with the injury issues, kind of ties in with how the season may go for the Memphis Grizzlies. I asked the question, how many Grizzlies will make the All-Star game this year? My options were 0, 1, and 2%. We had over 100 folks vote. Thank you guys for participating in the question of the day. I had people say Conley. I've had people say Gasol. I've had people say Parsons. A couple of jokesters like to say James Ennis or Tony Allen, just kind of showing up. The lead vote getter, and I have a sneaky suspicion this is probably the way you're leaning, and I think it's a fair way to lean, is 0. 42% of the fans said 0 Grizzlies will make the All-Star game this year. 33% said 1, and then there was a quarter of the fan base who was particularly positive today, Oliver, and said the 2 Grizzlies would make the All-Star game. So I will pose that question to you before I give my answer. How many Grizzlies make the All-Star game this year?
I think they get 2. I think Mike Conley I think Mike Conley has never been an All-Star, and he's one of those guys that people peg there all the time, but hasn't gotten there. And he got paid this offseason, yes, but I think players are starting to recognize, and teams and coaches and the people who vote for this stuff are starting to realize how good of a player Mike Conley is. So I would definitively say 1, and the other one, I mean, look, I don't think Parsons is there as an All-Star yet just because of how many great wing players there are. It's just such a tough category to make if you're not LeBron James or Kevin Durant or, you know, the other couple that are in there. But when you're talking about centers in the league, I think there's a slot for Marc Gasol to be there. So I will say two.
Wow. Wow. Oliver Moroney, I am dumbfounded. I am surprised. I would have sworn you were going to say zero.
I know.
You are full of surprises, and the chat room is buzzing. They want to have you back as a guest every week. This is great. well, as I said at the beginning of the show, I thought Chandler Parsons would make it. And now with the health issues, I think it's fair to say he can maybe come back and still be a very productive player. It's probably not fair to say he can play at an all-star level. That's a bit too optimistic. So Parsons is out. I think that Mike Conley plays in an era of point guard play that is some of the best that's ever happened in the NBA. And that's part of the reason. And a lot of those guys are in the Western Conference, unfortunately for him. So that's part of the reason that I'm not sure he makes it in. I think he deserves it. And I think he will have a career year, but I think you've got Damian Lillard, you got Chris Paul, you got Steph Curry, you got Russell Westbrook. Those guys are going to take so much oxygen out of the room that it might be difficult unless they bump, maybe they call Westbrook a shooting guard or something, or bump him to the two. It's going to be hard for Mike to get in. Maybe the coaches will put him on there, especially if he has a career year. I'm going to go one, and I'm going to say it's Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol looks better than he has in several years. Marc Gasol is running the floor well. Marc Gasol had a bone bruise in his ankle that scared the crap out of Memphians, terrified that he had re-injured that foot that we've been talking about this entire podcast. And then the next, you know, we thought, oh, well, he certainly won't play in the last preseason game. And then Marc Gasol goes out and plays 18 minutes in the last preseason game. So maybe the foot is doing better than we thought. He certainly is going to play through injuries as much as Fizdale will allow him to. Fizdale has already said he'll sit him on back-to-backs and try to monitor him. I think we're going to see a monster year from Marc Gasol. And I will say one Grizzly makes the All-Star game. It will be Marc Gasol. I do have to say, Oliver Moroney, you are making the All-Star list for guests on Grizzly Bear Blues Live, coming through in the clutch. You hit a game-winning shot there. I like the positivity with the two All-Stars on the Grizzlies. You're okay with me, Oliver. I think Memphis is going to really appreciate that response. We appreciate you and your time coming on the show. We know you're a busy man this time of year, and we'll certainly have you back on in the future.
Of course. I look forward to it. Thanks so much for having me on. And, Mike Conley's going to get that Lifetime Achievement Award this year.
Ah, I like it. I think that's a good way to put it. Thank you so much, Oliver. There he goes. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Oliver Moroney, writer for BasketballInsiders.com. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at @OMoroneyNBA. We are finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. What a great show this has been. Again, a shorter podcast because we're Tuesday, October 25th, with another live recording, previewing the regular season, the first week. We've got Kevin Leip lined up as a guest already. We'll get our next guest lined up as soon as possible, hopefully on Friday. Make sure you're following GBB Live at GBB Live on Twitter, where we will make those announcements regarding guests for our season preview show. It's a big one next Tuesday night, same time, 8 p.m. Central Time is the live recording. Obviously, you can catch us on iTunes. Make sure you're subscribing, downloading, reviewing, doing all those things to help us get the good GBB Live word out. Of course, you can listen on Blog Talk Radio or over at GBB itself, grizzlybearblues.com. Make sure you're checking out Oliver Moroney. Again, great work over at Basketball Insiders. Great guest on the show tonight. Thanks to him for his time. Thanks to those who got into the chat room, including Manager Emeritus over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Mr. Chris Faulkner hopping in the chat tonight. Good to talk with him. Thanks to Chris for listening and all that he has done for GBB and for me. Can't thank that guy enough for all the work he's done over the years. It's easy to become the site manager when you had somebody in front of you who did the job the right way. So thanks to Chris for that. A good role model as I take over the reins this season as site manager over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. And most importantly, of course, thanks to you for listening. Thanks to you wherever you may be, however you may be enjoying our podcast. Thanks for partaking in GBB Live and GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Thanks to FanEssentials.net, our tremendous sponsor. Make sure you're checking them out. And make sure, again, you're following GBB Live on Twitter so you can be eligible to win that fan box next week. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for me. I'm excited to be back with a brand new show. on Tuesday. Again, previewing the season. It'll be a little bit longer than this one. This one was a perfect length, though, with a great guest. Thanks so much to Oliver again for his time. The Memphis Grizzlies are back, ladies and gentlemen, 6 days from tonight. This live recording, I can't wait. I know you're excited as well. Make sure you keep checking out grizzlybearblues.com for all that you need when it comes to these Memphis Grizzlies. I'll catch you on Tuesday. Until then, grind forth, Grizz Nation. I am Joe Mullinax, and this has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.